This passage comes from Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melodies to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not. O God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me. But the Lord will take me in. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Well, happy New Year's Eve, everyone. My name is Pastor Phoebe. I'm the children's pastor here. I actually see a lot of familiar faces that are back from wherever you are. So Norman, welcome back. So nice to see you. And also even new friends, Cindy, too. It's been a long time. So it's really nice to see those who are here has come back or even new here as well. And we have a friend from Florida, too, Mikey, right here. So it's so nice to be here and to really celebrate this New Year's Eve with all of you. Well, before we start, let's just pray for the word. Dear Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you for our friends that are back and are joining us today. But Lord, I just pray for your spirit to be among us as we listen to your word, as you speak to all of us. And so, Lord, I just pray that in this passage that we're looking to, that when we continue to have this renewed hope in you, and so that when we continue to face the battles and the wars that we will be facing in the upcoming year. And so, Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you had a wonderful holidays because it's a great time to sit back, relax, and obviously watch a lot of movies. I know Pastor Arthur would arguably say that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and we can tell him, which I probably told him multiple times, that it is not, but some of you guys can argue with me afterwards. But my personal favorite, in just even in the holidays or in general, is actually watching war movies. Who's also a fan of war movies? No one? Okay, good. Okay, so I recently watched a war movie. It's called All Quiet on the Western Front, and it's on Netflix if you have it. I found there's like moments in that movie that really stuck to me is when the soldiers are in the trenches because of the different things that can happen there, whether it's with your comrades or even with the enemies. Well, what's a trench? I think most of us know. It's a very long and narrow ditch in the ground where it's usually very uncomfortable and super muddy. I always wonder, like, how do they even go to the washroom? I just guess they just do it right there. But the trench is designed, is basically designed as a place of protection and shelter for soldiers to rest and to even take refuge. It is a place to seek hope to continue fighting in the war. Well, when I was preparing for the sermon, okay, guys, I know this image is kind of far, fetched, but just listen to me here. I kind of see that our church is kind of like a trench. In a way that we all have our own battles, and we're here just to find that rest and refuge so that we can go out there and continue our battles. And also in some ways, the people that you're sitting beside are basically like your comrades, because we probably have fought a war in some way or form, like the war of cooking and cleaning for Christmas gatherings and parties, making and buying Christmas presents for all your families and friends, and some not liking the gifts that you bought them, looking at your bills and trying not to blame yourself or kill your spouse for the extra unnecessary purchases that you thought it was necessary during Boxing Day, or even fighting the urge to say something or even talking back, especially at family gatherings. Who can attest to that battle? When some relatives just, you know, love to call you fat and also complain that you're not eating what they're cooking for you. I get it. I get that battle. Well, Christmas season is like a war zone, despite of the constant reminder, the reason for the season is Jesus. Each week of Advent has been a battle to see hope, feel peace and joy and love, especially with our family members, and to see the light in dark times, despite that you know that Emmanuel, that God is with us. Each of us here in this congregation is probably fighting another war in some way or form, whether it is your own health or the health of your family members, whether it's sickness, cancer. Even this year with the inflation, there's a lot of financial struggles. Some people have, you know, family and friendship struggles, or even struggles in the workplace where it's been just a rough season and you know it will continue to be rough. At times like these, it is difficult to see where God is and how Jesus is working. And this is why I chose Psalms 27 as an encouragement to you, because it helped me in my battle and is continuously sustaining my hope in God. My encouragement to you is that we sit in this trench for the next 20 to 30 minutes, that I want to encourage you to continue to go out there and continue to fight your war, and not only that, to continue to have hope in God. So there are three reminders that hopefully that it will cultivate and sustain your hope in God, which is through worship, petition, and wait. Now, I'm a children's pastor, so you guys got to do these actions with me, okay? So worship, come on, guys, worship, petition, and wait. Okay, one more time. Worship, petition, and wait. Yes, this is why I love being a children's pastor. It is continue to hope for the reason of the season, but not only that, all seasons, which is Jesus Christ. Well, Psalm has a collection of 150 poems and express a wide range of emotions such as adoration, sorrow, battle of fear and trust, thankfulness, confidence, desperation, and praise. The Hebrew name is, hopefully I'm not butchering this, Tehillim, which means praise. The theme of the book is offering God Yahweh praises through public worship. Well, the chapter is written by David, who is a man who pursued after God's own heart. Well, the language in this particular psalm doesn't specify what kind of battle David was going through, but it does speak of the enemies, the adversaries, and the false witnesses, which is true in many parts of David's life. Well, some of you guys know that one of the biggest battles, well, not biggest, but there's a lot of big battles that David went through. But one of our favorite for children's ministry is David and Goliath, where David was defeating this big Philistine giant soldier, Goliath, and defeated with a stone and a sling. Well, some other people think that it's written prior to him reigning as a king, where he was chased after Saul and his army. David hid in a cave while King Saul tried to assassinate him because of King Saul's selfish ambition and jealousy. Well, whichever period of David's life this psalm was written in, we can see that despite of the hardship, David has confidence and hope in God, knowing that God will bring him out of his situation. In David's powerlessness and hopelessness, his focus is on God. And not only that, his focus is continue to have hope that God will bring about protection and victory. So we're going to look in Psalms 27 in three sections. So in verse 1 to 6, we're going to be looking at worship. Verse 7 to 12, we're going to look at petition. And verse 13 to 14, we're going to be looking at wait. So worship. Well, the Psalms begins with David sharing his incredible confidence in the Lord in the season of trouble by proclaiming that God is his light, his salvation, and his stronghold. David's confidence speaks as if he invites the threats because of his confidence that knowing that God will triumph all fear. Well, in verse 2, it says, "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." Every time I read this passage, it kind of reminds me like a Hong Kong gangster movie where a large gang is trying to gang up on these two or three people. And, you know, they say, I don't have any fear because of the confidence in my big boss. This is my big boss's territory. You can't defeat me. David knew who his big boss is, which is God, and that he will know that his big boss is constantly by his side, and that is why he does not need to fear his enemies. In verse 2 to 3, there's kind of this constant enemy language that is mentioned. For example, like evildoers, adversaries, and foes. Well, even though it does not specify which enemies they are, but we know what the enemies are doing. They are attacking him. They're threatening him, raising up false testimony against him, terrorizing him, and ultimately wanting to take his life. Even though it's really not the theme of the passage, but the enemy language is not only shown in chapter 27, but it's also shown throughout the book of Psalms. Even throughout the whole Bible, there's stories of enemies everywhere. The Bible is real, and how cruel the world we live in. It is honest about people's capacities to harm, whether it is intentional or not. The world is full of broken people, dark forces, and tough situations. And in this book, reveals the darkness of the harsh realities of the world. Despite of the cruelty of the world, David trusts in God to help him defeat his enemies because he has witnessed the power of God by his side. He knows that instead of taking justice on his own, that God will fight for him, and that the battle, kind of like the battle against Goliath. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." David's experiences reminds us that the enemies have a place in the life of faith, so that we can continue to realize God more and more. Well, in verse 4, David only needs to focus on this one thing, which is the presence of God. And this is what it says. "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Even though the temple kind of reminds us of King Solomon's temple or the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, David actually did not see that come to fruition in his lifetime. David is actually referring to the worship where the Lord dwells in. It's an image of God's presence living in his household and being under God's protection and care. Well, this year, with my David Camp leaders, we were reading a book called Empowerment Pivot by Doug Balzer, which is like part of our devotions and reflections. Well, in this chapter, it's called Pivot to the Infinite God, points out that God is omnipotent, he's all-powerful and has no end to his power, omniscient, all-knowing, no end to his knowledge, and even omnipresent, present everywhere. In the book, it tells us we need to pivot our minds to the infinite God because sometimes our view of God is way too small. Well, this on page 30 says, "The pivot to an infinite is perhaps the primary shift you or I need to make to experience more of him. We must first come to agreement that the idea that there's more of him to experience and that we actually want more of him." Worship pivots our small view of God by minimizing our perspective of our battles and fears and enemies and magnifying God's presence and his character. Well, David's hope is sustained through worshiping God by praising him during his war. Because there is nothing to fear because God's presence is real. And that is how he continued to see hope. In verse 6 it says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Despite David cannot see where God is working, he experiences God's presence through the act of worship that gives him the confidence not only to continue to fight his war, but also joy in the midst of battles. So we have worship, and the second one is petition. David's worship tone kind of changes in verse 7 to 12. It's kind of like, you know, "God, I trust in you, but..." So that is kind of his "but." Not the "but." But anyways, what I mean is, one can doubt his confidence in God. Well, a petition is to make a request, a plea, or even a cry or prayer. In his desperation, he presents his worries, complaints, anxieties, even grieves his current situation to God. He calls God to be faithful to him and not to abandon him during his distrust and pain. David needed assurance and security from God amid uncertainty and pain. In these words of lament, David reflects a close relationship with God by holding on his faith and during despair, because he realizes there is nothing and no one that can help him except for God. In some ways, these verses teach us how to pray, and by identifying our experiences of our enemies and being honest to God in our petitions, because he is our Heavenly Father, we can be honest with our struggles of our war and enemies that caused us hurt and pain. Don't ignore it. Don't minimize your hurt that we receive, because we know that God listens to our prayers. God constantly invites us into relationship and dialogue with him in our petitions so that we can continue to express our full emotions, our full emotions of rage, frustrations, disappointments, discouragements, sorrow, helplessness, and doubts. We are invited to use every part of our emotions and present it to God, knowing that he cares deeply for us. We too are invited to continue to petition so that we can heal. Well, one of my favorite books this year that was recommended to me by Nadine is called "This Too Shall Last" by K.J. Ramsey. Well, she shares like her experience in the battles of her life at work and even her health. She mentions in a chapter called "Emotion, Present to Pain and Receptive to Grace," that is, being honest with our pain creates intimacy and sustains our relationship with God. The enemy uses shame to isolate us from God, ourselves, and even one another, by telling us that we are abandoned and we're alone. It wants us to be God of our own lives. She mentions that the witness in Psalm reminds us that we need to remember that God is in our pain. And this is part of the chapter on page 92. It says, "Shame will always try to minimize or magnify our emotions and suffering, but God invites us to pay appropriate attention to them as lens through which we can see him." Like David, we are called to petition to God in prayer and even in our own battles. And that is why David is actually called, well, he's known for a man after God's own heart, because of his intimacy with God. So let me test you guys. Let's see if you're listening. Worship, petition, and wait. Oh, good job, guys. The last section, wait, is probably the most frustrating answer I can ever get from God. Don't you agree? Wait. Well, what it says in verse 13 and 14, it says, "I believe that I should look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. It's kind of interesting where in some way David is kind of reminding himself. It's like, you know, sometimes I have to remind myself, Phoebe, wait for God, you know, wait. I feel like that's kind of the same thing what David is trying to do to himself, is reminding him to wait on the Lord. Well, I have difficulties in waiting in line for anything, especially when I'm hungry or hangry, or even when I need to pee, okay? Waiting in line is probably the worst. But especially in moments when we're so anxious, frustrated, eager, or even desperate of God's help, even in our own pain and battle, even though waiting does not end the war, or take away battles, or remove the enemies around you, but waiting is a deep sense of hope that God will act on our behalf. He will fight for us. He will fight for you. And the battle is not ours, it is His. To wait and hope on God is to look at Him with dependence and trust. When we wait, it is to have faith in who God is and what He can do. It makes us strong and courageous because we have the God of the universe by our side. It is learning to not take things in our own hands, but to invite God and allowing Him to process things with us, that He is working and He will do what is best for us. While we wait, we are continuously seeking and focusing our eyes on the one thing, which is the goodness of the Lord. Oh, out of this whole Psalms, my favorite verse in it is actually verse 13. This is what it says. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. We know that when we are at war with our enemies, we can only see evil, darkness, despair, and hate. However, we are constantly and continue to seek after the goodness of God by hoping in him through Jesus Christ. Jesus, too, lived among us and understands our battles. He was in anguish and pain because of people who falsely accused him and sought after to try to kill him. He was abandoned and even denied by his disciples. As he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed this prayer that we too would probably pray, is to ask God to remove this cup of suffering from him. It says in Luke 22:42, it says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus took the punishment of sin and crucified and died on the cross. And after 3 days, he claimed victory over sin and death, because there is this victory in Jesus. His resurrection reminds us that this battle is won, that there is victory in our battles, in our warfares. But not only that, we have to realize that this battle that we're fighting is so much bigger and larger, because it's a spiritual warfare, and our real enemy is the evil one. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic power over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As we have celebrated the birth of Jesus, being here on earth, knowing that he has identified with us and lived among us, we are awaiting for his second coming. As we await, we have full confidence that when Jesus returns, that he will wipe every tear. There will be no more death, mourning, nor crying or pain. This is the greatest hope that we can have in Jesus. So my question to you is, what is the current battle that you are experiencing today that you need to bring to God in worship, petition, and wait? So let's do it one more time. Worship, petition, and wait. Well, this past year, just get something ready. This past year, I went through the most difficult health battle, which is getting a major surgery for in my enlarged cyst. Because of how big the cyst is, I had to get my right ovary and my fallopian tube removed as well. There were many small battles that came with this big battle, which is telling my family and my friends, changing the plans of the year. I even couldn't make it to my best friend's wedding. Taking a sick leave for the very first time in my life, leaving ministry for a few months, getting cut and opened, even taking time to heal physically. But the greatest battle that I had to fight was the thought that I couldn't have any children. I still remember the moment when the doctor told me that I had to get one ovary removed and potentially both, depending on how large the cyst is and where it is in my body. The moment I got into my car, I just cried and cried. And the first thing that came into my mind was, God, are you playing a sick joke in my life? The thing that I wanted the most is to have children, and how the chances of having one seems so much farther than already is. I wanted to hate God. But something switched in my head, which I believe was definitely the Holy Spirit. Because after that, I said, well, if that is the case, God, then you have to work a bigger miracle in my life. I've seen you work your miracles, and now you just have to work a bigger miracle so that my life can give you all the glory. Because I am reminded, if Jesus can work miracles in the people in the Bible and heal them, how much more can he work in my life and bring about the miracle that only he can do? I realized that in this battle, my God is a big God. I'm still waiting, and I'm still in my battle into the lie that I cannot have my own children. However, I am continually reminded to worship, petition, and to wait in God, because he already won the battle. So what is the current war and battle that you're experiencing today that you need to bring to God in worship, petition, and in waiting? Worship and praise God. It will help you to put into perspective of this infinite God who can work bigger than your small mind can imagine. Petition. Bring your petitions to God. He can handle it. He's God. Be honest. And just leave it unto his feet. And I know the last part is wait. It sucks. But trust that God will bring about that victory in your battle. We may not see it now, but it will come soon. We know that Jesus is victorious, and he will come back to reign over in our lives. So I'm going to have the next time for you to just to reflect on this question in silence and in prayer. What is the current war and the battle that you're experiencing that you need to bring to God in worship, petition, and in waiting? So let's pray.